Welcome to another Radio Internet Story Exchange podcast. I'm the Rise host and producer, Kelia Ramirez. The federal government arrests medical marijuana users, threatens the licenses of doctors who prescribe medical marijuana, and raids medical marijuana distribution facilities in states such as California, where voters have legally sanctioned medical use of the drug. Meanwhile, the Bush cabal seeks to further fatten the bottom line of Big Pharma by getting as many people as possible, especially children and teenagers, hooked on expensive psychiatric drugs. In July 2004, Rise spoke with David Oakes, director of Mind Freedom International, about Bush's other drug policy. Mind Freedom International is an independent nonprofit coalition defending human rights and promoting humane alternatives in mental health. We began with a description of Mind Freedom's signature celebration, Mad Pride.
Mad Pride is a way to get the word out that there is a movement of people who've been through the mental health system, who are challenging the mental health system, speaking out against human rights violations, and promoting humane alternatives to the mental health system.
What are the human rights violations and what are the humane alternatives?
Originally, people in this movement who started organizing had come from the back wards and had experienced forced electroshock and being held down in solitary confinement and forcibly drugged. And that's still going on. But every night on TV now, drug companies are telling Americans that if they're sad or anxious, that the problem is a chemical imbalance and therefore they have to be on these psychiatric drugs, when actually there's no special evidence that there's a chemical imbalance that has to be fixed by a chemical-based approach. So in a way, the government is sanctioning fraud on a massive scale. And so that's an example of human rights violations. But in terms of alternatives, we're pro-choice. This is all about freedom. So some of our members do feel they're benefited by a medical model approach where they take prescribed psychiatric drugs. But a lot of our members have been helped in other ways also, such as by counseling, peer support, massage, exercise, nutrition, eco-psychology, where people use nature as a healing experience, meditation, spirituality, art, music, the list goes on and on once our people are seen as human beings. What the mental health system has done is kind of portray people with psychiatric labels as being somehow different from everybody else in a fundamental genetic chemical way. And that can really hurt recovery.
So I see the commercials, and they have more side effects than they have ways of helping you.
Right, and sometimes people may accept that risk when they take a prescribed drug. The problem is really the domination by the drug industry. It's kind of like a bullying approach, where this is the only approach for people with severe problems. Like even young children are being put on massive doses, multiple doses of psychiatric drugs. And so this is leading to some rebellion in the ranks. A lot of psychiatrists are speaking out to blow the whistle on this kind of drug-based approach. What the Bush administration plans to do is really align with the drug companies even more than already is done. And to screen the entire U.S. population, especially every single kid, for mental and emotional problems. And that could sound good in the sense of, you know, trying to find people who are in trouble. But the plan is called the Texas Medication Algorithm Project, or TMAP. An algorithm is just a fancy, mystifying word to mean kind of like a recipe or a cookie-cutter approach to dealing with people's problems, that if they exhibit such a behavior, then they should be given such and such a drug. And this came out of Texas during the Bush administration. And whistleblowers in Pennsylvania have successfully gotten out that the TMAP was written by the drug industry itself. But now the Bush administration wants it to become the national approach to mental health problems. So if you exhibit a problem, say you're a school kid and you're screened, then you're put right into this little like conveyor belt in this TMAP, and if you exhibit such and such behavior, then you're put on one of the more expensive drugs. That's the highest priority in TMAP. And if that doesn't work, you're put on another drug. Level four is electroshock. After they've tried this drug, that drug, this drug, then that leaves electroshock. So it's a very mechanical, very reductionist, linear kind of approach, a very dominating approach like the Bush administration approach to foreign policy is a very much similar to their approach to mental health. Like, align yourself with huge corporations and then jump up and down on the population until you make lots of money. I call TMAP No Child Left Undrugged.
Another thing that I find troubling is the use of the word consumer instead of patient or client. When did that come up?
That's interesting because our social change movement's been around since 1970, and our phrase for ourselves was political, is psychiatric survivors. We call ourselves psychiatric survivors to remember people who've been killed, damaged, and hurt in the mental health system. In the 1980s, the federal government began giving out grants to people in our movement, and some of it was good, to run drop-in centers and peer support groups and conferences. But the government didn't like the term psychiatric survivor, so the federal government came up with the term of mental health consumers. And a lot of us bristle at that in the sense that, you know, if we're buying a screwdriver, then, yeah, we're the consumer and we're putting our money down and buying it. But the mental health system, you don't consume or buy four-point restraints, solitary confinement, labeling, forced drugging. I mean, nowadays, most states have the ability to court order people to take their psychiatric drugs while living at home. And to back that up, most of these states have programs that will even allow at-home drug deliveries every day, backed up with that court order, to force you to be drugged in your own home. So how is that being a consumer?
What do you do to fight what the Bush company is planning here?
Now we finally have a chance to break into the mainstream, because the general public is getting worried. When we tell them, hey, you are about to be screened by the Bush administration plan for mental health problems, people get nervous, and they should get nervous. So we're actually looking at this as a time to organize with more of the mainstream. People are tired of the drug companies shoving chemicals down little kids' throats, labeling people left and right with emotional problems, and also denying alternatives to people. Families with a member in crisis deserve more than just a bottle of pills. They often deserve psychosocial alternatives that are just not being provided because they don't make the drug companies any money. We're working with the World Health Organization. The head of the mental health section, Dr. Benedetto Saraceno, has worked with us to put out a statement that they consider the state of mental health globally to be an emergency in terms of human rights violations. And the drug companies want to globalize the approach of mental health that's now mainly a USA phenomenon, which is this heavy use of Ritalin, Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, advertising every night on TV over and over again. They want to globalize that approach, very similar to like the genetic modification industry and other industries that have globalized real high-tech approaches to people's problems without building in, you know, social change and empowerment and getting a voice for people. I like to say that what's needed right now is for democracy to meet head-on with the mental health system. It's a huge amount of money. Mental health is one of the biggest areas in terms of money for the state government. And now half of that mental health money is going to the drug companies. The newer drugs are extremely expensive. The public shouldn't just be writing these blank checks to the drug companies. And by the way, the drug companies are very connected to the Bush administration. There have been Bushes on the board of Eli Lilly. Drug company representatives are directly involved in the Bush administration. The American Enterprise Institute, which is really the main right-wing think tank that works with the Bush administration, is very involved now in mental health. They have a psychiatrist who is one of their advisors. So people need to know about these things and talk about them and get hands-on in terms of changing the mental health system.
Women have often been given mental health drugs, sleeping aids, etc., on the idea that, oh, you know, it's an emotional problem with women. What we're seeing now then is it's an expansion of that stereotype to everybody?
Right. In fact, women's a good example, because we were there protesting with the National Organization for Women when the American Psychiatric Association voted through premenstrual dysphoric disorder, PMDD, which is basically bad PMS, where they medicalized it. And 500,000 more women then became eligible for drugging. And a lot of women have now been put on psych drugs. So this labeling process is also partly run by the drug industry. We've come across cases where people come here from Central America or from political abuse, and they're in a counseling program here, which sounds good, but then they're referred to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist, in one case, put every single political abuse survivor onto a course of psychiatric drugs. So you have a re-traumatization by being disempowered. Don't wait until you or a loved one who's in a crisis and you pick up the phone to call for help, and the only thing available is a prescription pad. I mean, this is the richest country in the history of the planet. People in crisis, kids that can't study, people that can't sleep, people who are upset or thinking of hurting themselves, they deserve a lot more help than just giving money to the drug industry. The problem is that we have a market-dominated approach to help, but you can't buy and sell relationships. You can't buy and sell social change. You can't even really buy and sell a good hug. So the marketplace is at a loss in dealing with a lot of problems, and a lot of the problems are from the society itself. People are isolated, overwhelmed. They're watching about war. They're reading about species extinction with the environment. I mean, if you don't go through an emotional crisis now and again, you're brain dead. In experimental programs in Australia, USA, and Canada, there are programs to screen teenagers to look for warning signs that someday they may have a mental disorder. And the warning signs have become really general. Like, for instance, magical thinking. That's like should be a definition of humanity or childhood, for that matter. But having magical thinking in itself is not a mental disorder, but in some places they're screened for unusual feelings or thoughts like that and then put on the super heavy-duty drugs as a prophylactic measure. Now, once you understand that once you're on these drugs, it's hard to quit, because when you're on a neuroleptic, that's the Thorazine, Haldol, Melaril, Novane, Prolixin, Risperdal, Zyprexa, they have newer ones called atypicals. Once you're on these drugs for a period of time, it's really hard to quit. And so it's a really insidious form of addiction. Once you can get a young person onto one of these drugs for 6 months and they try to quit, they can have mental and emotional problems they never had before in their lives. And then the drug companies won't call it withdrawal. They call it a discontinuation syndrome. And so now you've got them hooked. Once they label you, then an industry has got a hold of you. There's social workers and judges and lawyers and mental health workers who are making a living off of you. And once you're on that drug for a period of time, you can then end up on it for 10, 20, 30 years. And the latest studies from MRI and CT scans backed up by animal studies and autopsy reports shows that long-term high dosage use of these drugs can cause actual shrinkage of the frontal lobe. So severe it's seen under a brain scan. And the industry is admitting this. The mental health system is now admitted this. It's no longer a debate or a controversy. They've admitted that long-term use can cause brain damage. So the immensity of the stakes is just hard to express, that over this next few years, they're planning to massively increase the drugging, not only in the U.S., but also in Asia and in Africa, in Eastern Europe and developing countries that usually haven't seen these drugs. Whole new markets to get literally millions of people onto super powerful psych drugs. And so now as never before, we have to get hands on this issue.
You've been listening to David Oakes, Director of Mind Freedom International. The organization's website is at www.mindfreedom.org. Mind Freedom Radio can be heard live at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, every Wednesday at www.theprn.org. Listening is free and the shows are archived. On November 29, 2006, OnlineJournal.com published an article titled "Federal Government Launches Marketing Campaign for Psychiatric Industry" by Richard A. Warner, President of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights of Seattle. The article sums up what the government has been doing to get Americans to just say yes to psychiatric drugs since the Rise interview with David Oakes. I'm Kelly O'Ramaris, host and producer of Radio Internet Story Exchange. My website is rise4news.net. A free subscription to Rise Podcasts is available at rise4news.net, and you can email me at Kellia, K-E-L-L-I-A, at rise4news.net. This has been a Radio Internet Story Exchange podcast. Thanks for listening.